Hi, friends. Welcome to another episode of Your Age Is Not Your Cage with Carla Allen. Today, I have on such a special guest, and she's even more special because she is family. And today, I have on my very sweet cousin, Abby, who lives in Northern Michigan, and she's joining us today to talk about many different things. But first, let me tell you a couple things about her. Abby is a mom to two beautiful boys. She's a wife to her high school sweetheart. She's a registered nurse. She's a photographer, a very talented photographer. She is a believer in Jesus. And most recently, she is a homesteader, which is what we're going to be talking a lot about. But some of the passions that Abby has include knitting, homemaking, cooking, baking, sewing, gardening, and they also have dogs and chickens that they care for. And her family love to be outdoors as much as possible. And Abby just values being a lifelong learner and trying new things. So I'm so excited for you to hear from her, hear her story, and the things that she's been learning as she's kind of gotten back to the basics with her family and the land that they live on. And so let's just get started with Abby. I want you to meet her and hear her story. So let's hear from Abby now. Hi, Abby. Welcome.
Hi, Carla. Thank you for having me.
Oh, I'm so glad you're here. And I've already gave you a big introduction. And so now we can just go straight into you telling everybody a little bit about you and your family, your story, kind of what you want to share a little bit before we get into everything and get started.
Awesome. So my name is Abby Paquette. I'm 31 years old. I live in Michigan's Upper Peninsula. I'm a wife to my high school sweetheart and my husband of 8 years. I'm a mom to two amazing boys. They are 5 and 2, which is crazy. The time goes by so fast. I'm a registered nurse turned stay-at-home mom as of about 3 years ago. Our family purchased 10 acres in 2019, and we built our home a couple of years later. We've been busy ever since, learning about homesteading skills and really just working to simplify our lives through getting back to the basics.
And so I have to ask you on that. I remember when y'all bought that land.
Yes.
Because the last time we were up there, which we did not mention, Abby lives in Northern Michigan, which I think I mentioned that in my intro. And we were up there visiting, and that was our last time there was 2019. And I think you had just bought it. Had you bought it by then, July?
Yep, July would have been when we closed on it in 2019.
Okay, because I remember that. I feel like we drove out and looked at the property. But so what made you do that from where you were? Because before, were you in a neighborhood? What was...
Yeah, so we actually lived on the main street in our town. Our town is pretty small. I think it's about somewhere between 5,000 and 7,000 people. So very small town. We lived right in the center of town, right? We used to laugh all the time because we used to say we live on the parade route is how we would describe it, because every year
at
4th of July.
Okay. I remember. Yeah.
The big thing in our town is that we were right on the 4th of July parade route. So I actually ended up, we didn't have any plans to buy a property. We weren't looking for land. And I ended up going to a yoga class with a friend. The friend was instructing the yoga class, and it was at her home. And she happens to live down the road from where we live now. And my mom and I had gone together. We left the class, and my mom took a wrong turn. She turned down the road instead of going back towards where I lived at the time. And she had gone down the road. She intended to just turn around, and we ended up seeing the property. And it was crazy how it just kind of like fell into our laps at that time. And, you know, it really wasn't in the plan for us.
Yeah.
And as soon as I saw it, I always tell Josh, my husband, that I feel that there's no other reason that we were led to this property other than God wanted us to be here.
Yeah.
Because truly, we saw it, and I knew right away. I was like, we need to call on this. And there was a handwritten sign on the tree outside the property, which is so hilarious. There wasn't even like a real estate sign or anything. And so we called the number and they had told us, they said, it's 10 acres and, you know, we'll take you out to see it. And within a few days we had an accepted offer and we were on our way to building, which was crazy because we had never planned for that.
Yeah, that is crazy. And for our listeners, you know, it is good to preface that your town is small because I think mm-hmm. one thing that I've always loved about coming back there is that small town feel because I don't have that where I live. Even though my town used to be smaller, Dripping Springs, it's not small anymore. It's grown so huge. And mm-hmm. to hear that you're on the parade route because there's not that many parades going on, you know, that people think about like it's a small town parade. I mean, it's mm-hmm. so fun. And of course, it was my dad's, you know, absolute favorite time of the year was to mm-hmm. do that. So it was a sweet neighborhood. And I remember now we came over to your house that yeah. year to watch the parade.
And we lived kitty corner from one of your dad's very good friends.
Yes. Yes.
And yeah, so we used to see them all the time and they would be outside and it was just, it was so great.
Yeah. So how was the transition going from that and having all your neighbors that you knew and all the things to where you are? Because how far out are you?
So it's funny because for us, we felt like it was a far drive at the time, but we're probably 2 or 3 miles from where we were initially. Yeah. So it being such a small town, you know, like really does feel like it's a lot further to us. And we're kind of right on the edge of the next town over too.
Yeah.
So there's probably like 2 or 3 properties maybe until, you know, the city limit sign.
Yeah.
So for us, that felt like a big distance.
Yeah.
But it's completely changed everything for us. Our neighbors, we know our neighbors actually better now than we did initially when we lived in town. And I think we see a lot of people out and about and everybody's kind of like living a similar lifestyle. So I think there's a lot to connect with people on where mm-hmm. we are now. But it's completely changed everything as far as how we live. We're living a completely different life than we were then. You know, we were doing a lot more actually indoors at the time, like a lot more screen time, a lot more indoor activities. And it's not that we didn't have a yard or, you know, walkable parks or anything like that, but we were just living more in a way where we weren't spending a lot of time outside. And now living where we do, the way that our property is set up, we have a 4-acre field that used to be old farmland. So it's completely cleared. And then we have about 6 acres of woods and trails behind our house. And so now it's like, we'll wake up in the morning and our oldest, our 5-year-old, he gets so excited to walk down to the creek in the morning and play like with his rubber ducks in the creek. And he puts up the top of the culvert and watches them like flow through the bottom end. And he just thinks it's the most fun thing in the world. So we're living a much more connected lifestyle, I would say, as far as like nature and being outdoors, and it's completely different.
Yeah. And is he in school, your oldest one?
He is.
Okay. So does he goes to school? You don't homeschool?
I don't homeschool. Okay. No. So our son right now, he goes to a Christian preschool. And it was a nice setup for us with me being a stay-at-home mom, because it wasn't 5 days a week, full time, you know, right out the gate, which a lot of preschools now are. They're like from the time they're like 3 or 4 years old, they're full-time school, which for us, we just weren't comfortable with that. And so we ended up sending him to this preschool, which allows him to go for just a couple hours a day, 4 days a week. So he gets the education he needs without having to be there all day, which is really what we wanted for our kids.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. That's what mine, when they were in preschool, it wasn't every day. Ours was, I want to say it was 2 days a week in it, but it was 2 days at like 8:30 to 2:30. So they had a good amount of time there, but it was just a couple days a week. And so I wanted to ask you on that, because backing up, you're a stay-at-home mom now, but you weren't before. So share a little bit the transition of what you were doing and then going to where you are now.
Oh, sure. Yeah, so I am a registered nurse and I've worked full time since I graduated. I've been a nurse since 2014. So I worked full time until my son was about, our oldest son was close to 3 years old. And so the whole while, you know, that he was really little and right after he was born, I was still working full time. And then when we learned that we were expecting our second child, that's around the time when I kind of started thinking about the idea of being home. And it was interesting because around that time, my husband had an opportunity come up for him for a new job that involved more travel for him. And it was right around the time where I was like thinking to myself and praying about whether or not I should be home and just wondering about making that transition because it's not super common where we are to hear a lot about people being stay-at-home moms. You don't hear a lot about women doing that. At least not in our area. And so for me, making that transition, that was a difficult choice to make. But when I finally did decide to be home, I had a lot of peace with it because I knew that, you know, the decision that I was making was really, it was the right one. And it was on my heart for a reason. And I was really, really wanting to make sure that we could give, you know, our boys the opportunity to not have to go to daycare every day. And the expense of that is just outrageous for what it is now. So I've been a stay-at-home mom now for about 3 years, close to 3 years, yeah. Which is hard for me to even imagine because I never thought that I would be a stay-at-home mom. I thought I was going to be like a full-time working nurse forever.
Yeah. Well, so let's talk about the transition of that and the things that, that you're doing now as far as a quote unquote homesteader. And all the things that that involves. And also, were you doing these things prior to staying home is what I'm curious about, too. How much of the things that you're doing now, just kind of share some of the things that you're incorporating now and into your family. And I'd love to know, like, were you doing these things before? Because I know you said, too, it was a little more indoors, a little more screen time. And the differences you've made with all the things you're doing now, because you're doing a lot of stuff.
So it is, it's funny for me to even think about it because again, I never really expected to be where we are right now. And, you know, at the point that I'm at, but a lot has changed for us. And I think there were definitely things that I was doing before, but the majority of the things came afterwards. So for instance, before when I was working more, I spent a lot of time knitting. Knitting was something that I learned actually from my sister-in-law. She's Norwegian and she taught me how to knit years back. And that was something that I really, really loved, doing with her. So that was something that I used to do while I was a nurse, certainly, but a lot of the things came after. Now I'm baking my own sourdough bread, which is wild and has become such a trend.
I know, it's crazy. Yeah. It's everywhere.
Yes. Except
I haven't done it. I have friends that have told me, I'll give you a starter. And I'm like, well, I'm not ready to start. So
yes. But it is so nice too, because even, you know, even if it doesn't work out, a lot of the times there's a lot of waste from just what's discarded that people are so happy to give you another one if you end up needing another one. So that's nice encouragement to know that you don't have
to. I'm going to dip my toes in it before too long. I am. I know I have to at this point. But yeah, I love that. And I've seen yours and you've made some beautiful sourdough.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
I really enjoy it. Honestly, I was pretty stressed about it at first because I also had a friend of mine who had offered me starter and had said, hey, I make all of my own bread. Do you want some starter? And I was like, oh, I don't know. I'm not sure. And then I had a couple other friends that had taken the starter. They're like, you should really do it. And finally, I got to a point where I was like, okay, I'll try. And it became something that was like so therapeutic for me. And it's been 4 months now since we've bought a loaf of bread.
Yeah.
So, and I got my first starter just in January.
Yeah. So it is. And when you look at what you put in your sourdough compared to what's in it at the stores, it's huge. And we don't do a lot of bread, but if I'm going to eat bread, I eat sourdough that, you know, a friend of mine makes and sells. So I know I need to get on the sourdough bus because it's out there everywhere. And I need to just start it. Okay. So what else in addition to sourdough? Tell me.
Yeah. So in addition to sourdough, we've been making a lot of meals from scratch. We really focus on whole ingredients. So basically, you know, one ingredient is a whole ingredient.
Yeah.
And so even just, you know, making meals, fresh meals every night and trying different recipes with our kids. That's something that we really value a lot in our house. And you know, what goes along with that for us is dinner at the table every night. So that's been a huge thing for our family that we've really focused on since we moved into our new house, is making sure that we're having meals at the table and our kids are having that experience too. So we've started gardening, which this one is so funny for me because it's really challenged my idea of not getting stressed about perfection, like starting seeds and thinking to yourself like, oh man, you know, only like 50% of them germinated or 50% of them did well, and still viewing that as something that's successful and something that you can learn.
I laugh
from.
Because that would so be me. I'm like, I'd be like, what's wrong with the rest of you?
I know. I'm like, oh, I get so stressed about it. And it's so funny because my husband's like, you know what? That's exactly what this is supposed to be. It's supposed to be a learning experience.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're supposed to learn from what it is that we're doing. And, you know, part of that, especially with homesteading, there's a lot of failure involved. And I think that's taught a lot to our kids, but it's also taught a lot to us. As far as, you know, being comfortable with that and learning from our mistakes and, you know, not feeling stress around it.
Yeah. Now so, on your gardening, because I've seen your videos on your Instagram and on the gardening, I've seen all the little seedlings. Mm-hmm. Now, is everything indoors? Do you have anything outdoors or does that come? Because I know your weather, you're still may have more snow. Who knows?
Yeah. So where we are, we typically get pretty harsh winters. Like, and I think that's probably even an understatement. Yeah. Our winters are rough up here.
They are. That's definitely rough. I know.
Yes, it is. We get lots of snow, lots of ice. It gets very cold. The negative degrees easily for a good portion of the winter usually. But actually my husband is in the process right now of designing and building a greenhouse for us. So he's working on that. That's actually one of our summer projects that we're getting to work on right now. So all of the seedlings that I have grown so far this year are living in our living room and our kitchen and our dining room, and they're all over the place.
Yeah.
And it's just hilarious. We have south-facing windows in the main room of our house. So we do get a lot of sun, which has worked out well, but yeah, our seedlings they're taking over our living room. Our kids think it's so funny too, because every day they wake up and there's more plants. We just got plants in the place.
Well, and that's what's funny, because when I've seen the videos and I've wondered like where you have them placed in the house, because even for me, again, the same probably as you, I'm like, I don't know, that would bug me. Like, are they in the way or are they?
Yeah, and they totally are too. Honestly, it's made me relax a little bit about it.
Yeah.
Just seeing how much joy it brings to our kids. Like they're waking every morning and they're like, Mom, we have a new sprout. Look at this. Look at this. And they just get so excited to be part of the process that to me is a good reminder sometimes that, like, you know, maybe this will be a positive memory for them that someday they'll look back and they'll think, remember the year when we had plants all over the living room?
Exactly.
What do you like that forever?
What are you growing? What do you have that you planted?
We're growing all sorts of stuff. This year is kind of a test year for us too. We actually dug our garden last year. And my husband's grandpa has been like an avid gardener for his entire life. He grew up on a farm. He's always had a large garden. So that was something that was actually really important to my husband when we moved in. He had said, he's like, since we have the land, I would really like to have a large garden. And so he dug the garden. It's 50 feet by 30 feet. So it's a pretty large area. Mm-hmm. And we've got, all sorts of stuff. I've got like edible flowers that we're growing this year. I've got cabbage, cauliflower, broccoli. I've got all of the seedlings sitting right next to me. So I'm like looking over to see what I have there. But then I have lots of tomatoes, a ton of different types of herbs. We've just got a huge variety of stuff. And then a bunch of seeds too that we're going to be planting straight in the ground. So it's going to be like carrots and pumpkins and all sorts.
I can't wait to see when y'all do that. How are you protecting them from deer and things like that? Because that's our big problem here.
Yeah, same for us. We have a lot of deer, a lot of bunnies, a lot of wildlife, pretty much everywhere. We have 11 chickens. We have 4 ducks. And so even protecting them from our own animals sometimes is a struggle.
Yeah.
But we have, I think our fencing around our garden this year is going to be between 6 and 8 feet high.
Okay.
So that's going to be the primary method that we're going to use for keeping them out. But I think even, around the outside of our garden, we're probably still going to have something like a hardware cloth or some sort of like a wildlife netting at the base to try to prevent animals like from digging and getting in that way. Cause I know bunnies and chipmunks and squirrels and stuff, they dig down in the soil to get into the garden. So it will be a little bit of a learning curve for us this year, and, we'll see what works. And if it doesn't work, then next year we'll be changing things, but that's the plan. At least
so is this the first year of doing the garden?
So last year we planted, but we didn't plant until probably the first week in July. And we direct sowed all of our seeds. So we didn't do any seedlings, no seed starts, nothing like that. I didn't even buy any plants or anything from nurseries at that time because we just didn't, there wasn't much left.
Yeah.
I mean, by that point, everybody had pretty much gone and planted and picked everything over, and they were starting to pull greenhouses down by middle of July here. So this year is really our first year where we're going to be planting the full garden and really just testing it to see what grows. First year mixing in compost. We didn't have time to do that last year. We've got somebody that we know that lives probably about like an hour away from here who has cow manure. So we're going to be picking that up, mixing that in this year.
Nice.
So yeah, it's going to be a whole process, and we're very excited to get started on it. And Josh's grandpa is actually, he's still doing his garden to this day. I think he's close, is he 89 years old maybe?
Yeah.
And he's still doing a big garden every year. Oh, wow. So he's very excited to come over too and help us and, give us some pointers and tips for things that have worked for him in the past too. So we're looking forward to having his knowledge of it.
I love that. I mean, it's like that, just passing down the generations and then also teaching your kids about all this too, and the value of it and growing their own food. And I'm sure they're going to be, I mean, how exciting as a little kid to see something go from a seed to all of a sudden, there's a big vegetable or something, I think is so amazing. And so you guys are teaching them such good things just by doing that. And okay, so tell me about some of the other things you have going on that you're doing as you're homesteading.
Yeah. So this past year we tried out caning for the first time, and that's definitely something we want to do more of this year, but it'll be more of a fall project now as we're getting into the summer things and there's a lot keeping us busy. I've been doing some candle making. My mom this year has actually been teaching me how to sew, which I had called her up at the beginning of the year and I'm like, you know what? I don't usually do resolutions, but this year I want to learn how to sew.
Yeah.
This is going to be my year to learn how to sew. And when I was a kid, like, she made all of our Halloween costumes. She hemmed everything for us. I'm not very tall. I'm like about 5 feet tall. And so everything, all of our pants, all of our dresses.
I feel your pain. I'm 5'1". Yeah. So I know.
So she was very good at, working a sewing machine. And I never had interest in learning really until we started living out here, and I'm like, man, that would be such a cool skill to know. And in that, I actually found out that my grandma had been a seamstress, and I never knew that because when later on into her having kids, she had 5 kids, she became a stay-at-home mom. But prior to that, she was a seamstress for many, many years. And so my mom had said, she's like, oh, I was around sewing my whole life. And, you just like learn these things about your family that you would have never thought to ask otherwise. And it's been such a fun thing for my mom and I too. Like, we have one day a week every week or two that we'll get together and we'll sit down and we'll sew something and I'll show up and she's like, okay, what are we making tonight? And,
I love it.
Pull out the patterns and you're making hot pads together, bread bags. And yeah, it's a lot of fun and it's a great way for us to get to spend time together too.
Yeah.
So that's been a lot of fun. Oh, and my oldest too, he loves it. He gets so excited about learning how to sew. And he actually told me, I told him I was doing podcasts with you tonight.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, mom, make sure you tell Miss Carla about our sewing machine. And he's like, because we have a new sewing machine in the basement. And he's like, I could even teach her how to thread the needle. And he was so excited to
that
talk
is about that. So cute because I've never sewed. I did in home ec in school back when they used to have home ec in school. And I think that was it. But my mom did, my grandmother, I mean, they all sewed. And Mary Grace did a little bit of sewing and she wanted to learn. And a friend of mine was helping her learn because, yeah, I don't know how to sew. So, but it was never anything that really enticed me to want to do. And if I'm being honest, I probably still don't want to. I don't know. I love that people do it, but I could see me knitting over sewing. Yes. But I don't know. It's something about, but I love it when people can do it. And it's, I don't know. I've heard a lot of friends say it's relaxing. It's just, you know, and I think that's what a lot of the things are, is between the knitting, the sewing, probably even canning, probably all the things, you know, ways where you find time to relax and slow down. And it's away from the distractions of the world, the phones and the TVs and, you know, all the things.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. And I think, yeah, it's so nice to have things like that, that you can lean on, like hobbies and interests and, you know, things like knitting and sewing and, you know, even like cooking and baking and having these things that you can do instead of sitting in front of a screen. And
yeah.
You know, a skill that you can pass down from generation to generation too is really, it's awesome. Something that I don't think we even realized we needed generations ago. You know, like I always tell my mom, I'm like, my grandma lived like this. Mm-hmm. She lived the way that we are living now.
Yeah.
But she lived that way because she had to live that way. She didn't understand at the time, you know, what kind of benefits that was giving to her family, to her and her husband, to her mental health.
Yeah.
Anything. They spent all their time outside and they, you know, they had a slow way of living. And now we look back on that, we're like, man, wow, there's so much to be learned from that.
There is. And,
and see it.
How many times do people say, oh, I wish we could just go back to a slower pace of life. I wish we could go back to when people used to come over and sit on a front porch together, or it's just such a lost thing. And I think about like your son wanting to sew. Sonny knows how to sew.
He used to
sew stuff for his ag and things that he did. And so he can sew better than I could for sure. But, you know, I think about with like your kids, it doesn't matter, boy, girl, it does not matter. That's a life skill and something that they enjoy. And all these things that you're doing, I imagine will help them where you don't hear a lot, I'm bored, I'm bored, I'm bored, you know, although I think, I mean, kids are pretty good at just saying that anyway, but I like when you have all these other skills and life skills that they don't even realize are life skills yet, that you're teaching them at such a young age is just stuff that they'll go back to and they will definitely remember that more than when mom handed me the iPad, you know?
Yeah, I know. And I've seen so many of these things, you know, that pop up that talk about like your kid will never remember their best day of screen time. What they are going to remember is being outside, running barefoot in the yard, climbing the trees, running through the woods. Like those sorts of things are the things that actually create memories.
Yeah.
And we fully believe that for our kids.
Yeah.
And we see it too. You know, we see the changes in them when they're outside being kids, the way that we were kids when we were young. And, you know, we didn't grow up with nearly as much technology as what there is now. And even like at the time when we were growing up in the 90s, you know, it was still viewed as too much at that time by previous generations, just because it was something that was so new. And now the lifestyle around screens and technology and everything. It's become so integrated into our world that I think sometimes we don't even realize, you know, how much we're relying on it. Yeah. We always tell our own kids, we're like, you know, we are going to, for the day, we're going to, especially because I'm home a lot, of course, being a stay-at-home mom. And so it's very easy to just sit there and turn on the TV and just say, you know, like, mom needs a minute. Mom needs 10 minutes to just take a breather. Here's a show. But I always tell my son, I'm like, you know what? It's so important that we're doing things in our day where if we get to the end of the day and we have a little extra time, that's our time for screens. If we get to the end of the day and there's no more time before bed for screens because we did so many things in the day, then that's great. Yeah. How awesome is that? Yeah. That we didn't have time for TV today because we have so many other things going on. And so we try to make those days the majority in our house.
Yeah, I think that's so good. And that's such a good point too, because it is so easy to... and I get it. We're, you know, moms, we're tired. There's times we don't want to entertain anymore or do anything, or, you know, whether even if it is going out and going for a nice walk or going out in the garden, sometimes it's just tough and you want to turn to something where you can just turn off and know they're going to be preoccupied. But I know for my kids too, since we grew, you know, they grew up on 5 acres out here. And I mean, their memories are of just being able to go run outside and all. I've left stuff on our property that they have built or I mean, there's different buckets. There's their wagon is in one spot. There's different things that I've left because I remember the memory and I don't want to touch it. And so there's things along our property from just their creative minds that they would run around and do and make these little, you know, areas within the trees and all the stuff they did. And those are the things, you know, they too remember are all the outdoor and the things that they did like that. You're just really creating, hopefully traditions that your kids will carry on too, that will become important to them too.
I really hope that for them. Yeah. I know my husband, it's so sweet because every time he goes outside to like build anything or work on a project, it doesn't matter. Like if my kids are watching a show, they'll be like, Dad, where are you going? And he's like, oh, I'm going to build this thing. They're like, we're coming with you. And even our 2-year-old, same thing. He'll be out there without shoes on. Like he is just fully immersed in whatever it is that we're doing at all times. And I love that for them because I'm like, you know, I want those kind of memories for them as they get to be older. And, you know, like you said, they don't a lot of the times even realize what's happening. They don't know that they're making memories by doing those sorts of things. But when you get older, you start to realize the value in that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the other piece, like talking about baking and, you know, I don't know how much your kids are included in your baking or the things that you do as far as cooking. But I think even when we're including them in things like that, even though they might go slower and make a bigger mess or, you know, because sometimes it's easy as a parent to jump in and just be like, let me do it.
It's so much easier sometimes.
You know, but if they're being included in, you know, the cooking process, they don't realize that they're learning. They're just doing it and having fun. But again, it's areas where you're teaching them these skills that'll benefit them as they keep growing up.
Yeah. Yeah. Both of our kids already love to cook. Yeah. And again, even our 2-year-old, everything that he can be involved in, he is involved in.
Yeah.
And so he's up there with a whisk and he's mixing stuff and he's cracking eggs at 2 years old. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, oh man, I don't know when I learned how to crack an egg, you know, just watching this like tiny little child sitting there and being so involved in everything and just really loving it and enjoying that experience. It's been so fun. And yeah, our kids, they both have like those little knife sets that you can get. I don't know if you've seen those, but like a safety knife set for kids. And so like they'll help chop up the vegetables and, you know, they're really involved in as much of the process as we can get them involved in. Noah's helped me, our oldest, he's helped shape dough and, you know, mix up our sourdough bread and he just loves it.
Yeah.
He thinks
that's great. And I don't know, Liz, with Homegrown Education, that was on my podcast a couple weeks ago. She was talking about her 3-year-old daughter that made their dinner of meatballs and, I mean, did everything by herself. And, you know, also the same thing, knowing kind of, I mean, of course, supervising when they're using sharp things, but, you know, incorporating her kids too into cutting things up and doing all that. I think it's amazing because I have no idea when I started doing all that either. But I think it's amazing when we include our kids in the process like that, like you're doing too. Yeah. Okay. So tell me what else in there? I know you mentioned ducks and chickens. Yes. And so tell me about the farm life there.
Yeah. When we found our property, I had said to my husband the first time that we had ever walked in, like I said, I truly feel like it was God telling us, like, this is where you need to be. This is where your family needs to be, because I felt so strongly about it from day one. And the first day that we walked the property, I looked to him and I said, this property needs chickens and a clothesline. And he laughed. He just busts out laughing. And he goes, what? Because we had no plans of living in this way at all during that time in our lives. And so for him to hear me say, we need chickens, and I'm pregnant with our second child, I'm, you know, it's just so hilarious to think about now, because it's like, you know, it was not in the plan for us. But it was last summer now that we got 8 hens. And then we ended up, it's so funny, actually, I can see them, they're right in the yard right now. We got 8 hens, and then we liked it so much that we got 4 more at the end of the season. So we ended up with 12, and we did end up losing one to a predator, which again, you know, happens. And that's been a learning experience for our family too, just how to deal with things like that. And you know, how to protect them from predators, but we do allow ours to free range almost all day. And so, yeah, learning the process behind that. My husband built our coop. We got chickens without a coop. So we have them living in our basement, which at first I was like, I don't know if I made the right decision. This is so stressful. I've got chickens living in my house. And now it's funny because we currently, right now, we have 4 ducks living in our house. And it doesn't bother me at all compared to like having the chickens last year. And we just become desensitized to it a little bit, I guess.
How is it with the ducks? Mary Grace always wanted ducks and we never got ducks. Yeah. We had chickens, but we never had ducks.
So the chickens right now are easier for me, but they're in a coop outside. Yeah. So I think for me, I will love the ducks more when they have their own space in the outdoor
world. Yeah. But will they go out with the chickens? Will they stay with the chickens?
Well, they can. Our chicken coop isn't really set up, to have a good place for them though, where they would be, you know, sleeping in like a clean area. So the way that the roofs are set up in our coop, I don't think it would really work out well for them. So my husband is actually in the process right now of building a duck house.
Josh is doing a lot of building.
Oh, it's so funny. And he was not a builder before we bought
really?
Him. Really? Not at all. No, he had built like a handful of things, but very small projects. And now since we've been on here, it's like he puts in a giant garden and
he needs to come here. I need him here. He needs to come build us some things.
Oh, he always laughs too, because he's like, I never imagined I'd be building this much. And yeah, he's put up so many things. He put up a clothesline for us. He's done a bunch of work on our deck. You know, he's just been out there to learn how to build everything. And and like I said, our oldest, he's so interested in all of it too. I think it's like motivating for him to be like, this is something we can do together. This is something that's really special for us. So yeah, he's building a duck house and a duck enclosure. And then after that, he'll get started on the greenhouse. So he's got a lot of projects ahead of him.
He's got a lot to do. Yeah. I hope he's out there now working on it.
I know. Yeah. I think he was out there cutting some wood earlier. So
What else is in the works for y'all? What are some things that you still want to incorporate maybe, or any other animals or ideas?
Oh, we've got so many dreams. I think that's something my husband and I, we love to dream together. That is something that we've loved for a really long time. And so, yeah, we're constantly talking about the next project that we're going to do. The next big one that we would both love to get done is a sauna. Saunas are very big up here.
Yeah.
We have a huge Finnish population. And in Finland, saunas are very common and originated in Finland. And so, so having a sauna is something that's really important to us and definitely something that we're going to incorporate here in the next couple of years, probably next year, I would think. But we also have plans to get goats. So we'll have some goats at some point, and who knows what we'll end up
with. How about a milk cow?
Chickens. You know, I thought about that, mm-hmm. but I haven't fully convinced my husband yet. We'll see though.
Yeah.
I don't think we're far off. He's definitely gotten to the point now where I think after the chickens, we decided the ducks on a whim. So after having gotten the chickens, he's pretty, you know, on board with most things that I get excited about. So typically if I come to him, like the ducks, you know, we went to church one Sunday and then we were talking about ducks and he's like, you know, they have them at Tractor Supply right now. And he's like, let's just go look at them. Let's go look at them. Sure enough, we come home with four ducks.
Yeah. So there's no just looking. Well, we had goats before, a couple of them, and let's just say I wasn't a fan. They were not my favorite.
Really?
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
They were just very dirty, gross animals, I thought.
Yeah.
That was just it. That, you know, they had two things, three things in mind: eating, pooping, and peeing. And that was basically it. And it's all they did.
Yeah. I can understand that for sure. I know I've talked to my husband about having like goats for goat's milk. And goat's cheese and being able to learn how to do some of those things and even, you know, like soap to make out of the goat's milk. And so we'll see. But again, it's a big commit to milking an animal every single day. And we also love to travel with our family. We have family that lives over in the country of Norway. And so, you know, we have other things that we like to do too. So trying to work out whether or not that's in our plan right now.
Yes. Well, because you have to weigh out and think about when you leave, who is going to, I want to see your mom and dad over there milking goats and a cow. And I want to see that.
You know, Carla, it's so funny that you say that because my dad, I never knew, grew up with chickens and he had never talked to me about it before.
Really?
And then we got our chickens, we got them in a coop. And he had to actually like watch them for one weekend while we were gone. That was the point that he told me that he was afraid of chickens. And I was like, oh no. And I felt so bad because I had asked him to take care of him. And of course, like, he's so nice, so sweet that he said, yes, no problem. Yeah. But I didn't realize he was afraid of them. Cause he's like, I had a rooster when I was a kid and the rooster used to chase me. So he had all these memories, all these negative memories of having chickens.
Oh, poor Terry. Yeah. Yeah, that's a lot. Sunny had a rooster that did not like him. And I will say it was so funny to look out the window and see him trying to beat this rooster off of him. Because it just decided it did not like him. So, yeah.
Did you have roosters while your kids were growing up with your chickens?
We had one in with the hens that we didn't know. You know, it wasn't supposed to be one. And then it became very apparent.
That it
was. So we gave them away. We gave them to a friend that wanted one. So, but yeah, that's, I can understand Terry's pain with that.
It was a pretty vivid memory from what he was telling me too. So apparently not something to forget.
Well, I love all the things you're doing and I love how you're incorporating your kids in it and you're just bringing back, you know, traditions that you too see came from generations before. And I truly do hope that people are picking up on it and going more back to that way of life, you know, with their kids and just creating that importance and those memories and realizing the impact that has on your kids going forward. And I mean, I know that's what you're doing in your family. And Is it hard for you to imagine like where you are now and like going back to where you were before?
Well, it feels like an entirely different life.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to even imagine the way that we lived before.
Yeah.
Because this truly, it feels so right to us. And my husband included, he had actually said when we originally moved out here, he had said to me, he was like, you know, I wonder how long it's going to take before this doesn't feel as great anymore. And now we're 3 years in. And he said to me last night, he's like, you know, I don't think we're ever going to get to that place. I think it's always going to feel this good because you feel just as great as it did to live out here as it did on day one, which I feel like for us has told us a lot about, you know, that we're in the right place. We're living the type of life we should be living. And, you know, we just feel so much peace around that.
Yeah. I love that. That's so beautiful. And I think, you know, the times that you do get where it gets older, you get tired of it, is the times when you've begun to take it for granted. You know, I think that's when that slips in. And you're not enjoying it like you used to when it just becomes you take for granted the beautiful land and all the things you have. And so I don't see you, either one of you doing that, you know, and I see you incorporating new things all the time and finding new ways to do other things to bring back in traditions and more animals, I bet. I have a feeling there's going to be a lot more animals, you know, so it's, and when you are walking in, you know, how you said, I mean, it felt like, you know, you were led there. And when you're walking in the plan that God has for you, and that's when you know it feels so right. And you have so much peace because you're walking in step with what He has for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think for us, it's been such a leap of faith for us to move out here and change the way that we were living. And even small things, you know, we didn't change everything all at once. It wasn't like, you know, we put in garden, got animals and did everything immediately, but slowly over time, it's amazing because we've made these small choices that we probably wouldn't have made if we would have stayed where we were and continued to live the way that we were living prior to moving out here. And I honestly feel like it's just been one guided step at a time. Like God has been truly pushing us one step at a time towards the life that He intended for us. And I do think the way, you know, that we lived prior to living out here, I think for us, we were also pulled back a lot from community. And I know I've talked to my husband a lot about this before too. There's something so special about living the way that we're living now and baking bread and cooking and, you know, being outside, having family over more. That's really, it's brought us closer to our family and our community in a way that we really didn't expect it to. And, you know, when you bake a loaf of bread and you have extra and you go over to your family's house, your friend's house to share with them, and all of a sudden you have a 15-minute, 20-minute conversation that you wouldn't have had otherwise. Closeness that it's really given us to our community and the people that we love is something that I think we needed so desperately. And I really think it was something that God pushed us towards by, you know, changing the way that we were living and changing the path that we were on.
I love that. It is. I mean, it always seems like you can do things, you know, food and bringing people together. And I don't know that in the older, and older you get, the more and more you realize, because I mean, especially for me, I mean, family and community, and I mean, of course, my faith is above it all. But that's what matters in life, you know. It's what matters, and you guys are definitely living that out now, and I love seeing it. And of course, because you are, I always want to say you're my niece, but you're my cousin. And you know, because I mean, your family is so special to us, and you know, the whole family. I just love seeing what's going on since, you know, I've known you since you were itty bitty bitty. And so it's so fun just to watch you and Emily both, and just you as moms now, and you know, just living your lives, and it's just so sweet to watch.
Yeah, it really feels like it happened fast.
Yeah.
Even still,
it only zips along even faster. I
keep telling my mom, I'm like, you know, at what point do you feel when you're a mom, like you have it together all the way, you know, because you feel like when you're a kid, you know, your parents, they know everything. They are just like above and beyond when you're a kid. You imagine them to be these people that are just all knowing.
Yeah.
And then you become a parent and you realize like, oh, we're all just like trying.
We were just winging it.
We're doing the best we can. Yeah. Figure it out. You know, we're waking up every day and just trying to be a little better than the day before. And
that's right. And it's so true. And these, even as you get older and even as you have adult children, and it's still, I mean, I'm still winging it half the time in the things that I do, even though, you know, both of my kids are adults now too. Well, is there anything that we didn't talk about that you wanted to share that I haven't asked about?
I don't think so. I think we mostly covered everything. You know, the biggest thing for me about, you know, changing the way that we were living is just having our kids involved in everything. And like we were talking, you know, with cooking and having them be involved in projects and all sorts of different things like that. I think for me, something that I've really learned through all of it is just how beneficial it is to learn alongside your kids, to be in a space where you're thinking to yourself like, oh man, I don't know how to do this. And that you don't, as a parent, you don't have to have the answers all the time. That it's okay to learn something new with your kids, and it's okay to mess up in front of your kids too. Mm-hmm. And I think that's been something that's been just really rewarding for me to see, and, you know, watching our kids problem solve alongside us and be like, you know, this didn't work, but let's try this, mom. And them getting to understand that, you know, perfection isn't the goal, and it's not with homesteading. It's constant that you're learning, you're trying out new skills, you're learning how to build stuff. Like my husband, like I said, he didn't build before we lived out here really. And, you know, you're learning a lot of new skills. And I think it's important to have them included in that.
Yeah.
And to understand, you know, that learning is something that should last a lifetime. You should always be learning. And that it's a good thing to incorporate into your life.
That's such a good point you made too about them seeing us make mistakes. It's so important for kids to see that, to know that, hey, we are real, we're human too, and we make mistakes. And also that as the parents, we own up to it and we let them know, you know, that we did. And oh my gosh, kids are so kind and forgiving, you know? And so I think that's beautiful too, when they're just learning alongside of you and not feeling like they're just a burden or a nuisance or go play or go do something, but allowing them to be a part of the family, you know, and growing and learning together. It's so beautiful. Okay. So I have to ask you, because I always ask at the end of my podcast, and I mean, all the things you're doing kind of answer this anyway, but what are you doing or that you are not allowing your age to be your cage? Like you are 31 years old, or what are you not going to allow to let your age be your cage, any to hold you back?
I think a lot of the times, you know, being in your early 30s or 20s, even, you hear a lot of people say like, I'm going to wait to do the things that I want to do until I get older. You know, I'm going to wait to take the trip until I retire. I'm going to wait until I have more time, until my kids aren't little, you know, to do all the things that I want to do. And I think that I've gotten very good over the years at not allowing my age to determine what I can't and can't do today. And I really think that, you know, I've gotten very good at saying yes to the life that I'm feeling called to right now, so that, you know, I don't have to wait to learn how to garden until I'm retired, or I don't have to, you know, wait to take the trip until my kids are grown. And I think, you know, my husband and I both, we really try to live out the things that we feel called to now and not wait, you know,
I love that. For Yeah, because how many times have people waited and then they don't make it to what they were waiting to do? You know, it's hard. And so I love that. That's a beautiful answer. And, you know, if you can do things and you don't have to wait, it's like embrace them and enjoy them and make the memories now and do what you can while you are your age.
Yeah, we can talk not as best we can. We try not to talk in terms of some days.
You know,
try to talk in ways that are like, okay, we want to do this thing. We want to take that trip. Let's figure it out. How do we make it happen?
Yeah.
Because, you know, it doesn't often pay to wait to do the things that you're looking to do. And I think sometimes when you're younger, like you have this false idea of feeling like you have, you know, you have all this time or, you know, I feel called to this, but that's for a different season. Yeah. That's for a different part of my life. And yeah, we try not to think that way.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I love it. I have loved our conversation. I think I needed just to have your whole family on, like your family and then Terry and Sarah and Emily, just the whole crew.
Oh, they would love to.
Family podcast. That would be so fun. Actually, we just need to do like a Zoom call or a FaceTime or something with everybody. That would be so
fun. Oh, yeah, that would be so fun.
But yeah, I've enjoyed this so much. So good. And I know for the listeners out there too, just to hear other families that are doing this and are going against what the culture says and what, you know, our world now says and does. It's kind of going against the grain. And I love that you're doing it because I think what you're doing for your family is going to just create these traditions and it's stuff that they're going to be able to pass on. And your kids one day are going to look and go, wow, look at all the amazing things my parents, you know, did for us as kids. And I think that's so beautiful. So I'm just proud of you guys. I just love what you're doing. And hopefully we can get back up there soon so we can see everybody and I can come see all your chickens and ducks. And
oh, I would love that.
Yeah. And you can feed me bread. And
come and visit us in the summertime too, when it's at its best.
Oh, I know.
I know that you love blueberries too, that you've mentioned it.
Yes, I know.
Your podcast before. Mm-hmm. We have tons of wild blueberry bushes in our yard. So if you ever come in August, you have to come pick with us.
I know. Well, the only time I will come up that way is summer, because the winter, I would not survive.
Yeah, our summer is probably like your winter.
Yeah, I know, right? Well, thank you so much for doing this. I enjoyed this so much.
Thank you so much, Carla. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're so welcome. And I'm going to end this now. And I thanks to everybody for listening and for joining in on this. And I will be back next week for another episode on Wednesday of Your Age Is Not Your Cage. Bye.